From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, October 15th. Coming up, the Mississippi River is running low south of Illinois, and that means shipping products like fertilizer will cost more. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Trump administration is asking colleges to make policy changes in exchange for special federal funding opportunities. As IPM's Emily Hayes reports, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign officials say they wouldn't sign that agreement.
The White House first asked 9 universities to join the compact. Bloomberg reports the administration is now making an offer to all colleges in the U.S. It asks them to comply with a range of demands, like limiting international enrollment and closing departments that belittle conservative ideas. Speaking at a university Senate meeting Monday, U of I Provost John Coleman said administrators believe the compact would curtail academic freedom and the campus's ability to make its own decisions.
We are of like minds on the inappropriateness of the proposed compact and that the university would not be involved in a compact of that type with that list of demands.
The Massachusetts Institute of Technology has publicly rejected the compact, while University of Texas leaders are considering the offer. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Charles Ledford contributed to this report. Yesterday marked the first day of the Illinois veto session, and immigrant rights advocates are in Springfield pushing for legislation to protect Chicagoans from federal agents. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Advocates say the plan is to, quote, throw salt on ICE. SALT stands for Safety in Action for Liberation Together. They're lobbying members of the Latino Caucus for bills that would bar federal agents from entering courthouses, as well as hospitals and health clinics. State Representative Dagmara Avalar says healthcare facilities should not be places of fear.
We know that we deserve to walk into a hospital with one expectation, to be safe, to be cared for, and to be treated with dignity. But in the past few weeks, we've seen people being terrorized for seeking healthcare.
Lawmakers have 6 days to move bills during this fall session. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Many Illinois shoppers will still be paying a 1% grocery tax in 2026. Capital News Illinois reports that Illinois Municipal League data show about half of Illinois municipalities passed ordinances to keep the grocery tax in place. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill last year eliminating the statewide tax. Revenue from that tax did not go to the state, but was distributed to local governments. Illinois lawmakers allowed municipalities to pass their own ordinances to keep their revenue from disappearing. Communities with several large grocery stores could lose millions of dollars in revenue without the tax. You can visit IPMNewsroom.org for more on this story and search within the story to see whether your town or county will implement a grocery tax. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is suing State Farm Insurance. Alex Degman reports.
The Illinois Department of Insurance opened an investigation last November into State Farm's increasing homeowner policy premiums. The lawsuit alleges rates rose by 27% in Illinois just last year. The state wants to know why that is, but Raoul says Bloomington-based State Farm won't turn over the zip code level data he's seeking, like how much the company collected in premiums versus how much it paid out in claims. This summer, State Farm said its premiums are going up because there are more severe weather events and a total home replacement costs more due to inflation. The insurer called allegations from prominent Democrats like Governor J.B. Pritzker, quote, factually incorrect political rhetoric. I'm Alex Degman.
Still to come, the Mississippi River is running low south of Illinois, and that means shipping products like fertilizer will cost more. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high of 75 degrees and a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 55 degrees and a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 76 degrees and a southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 52 degrees, a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 78 degrees and a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, a conversation with Colleen Shogan, a former archivist of the United States, the person responsible for safeguarding federal records. It's traditionally been a nonpartisan post, but Shogan was one of the first high-profile officials fired by President Trump. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. U.S. farmers are facing rising costs. That includes fertilizer, a critical part of getting high yields. Millions of tons of the product travel up the Mississippi River yearly. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports on how low rainfall could contribute to even higher fertilizer prices.
The Mississippi River, stretching over 2,000 miles, is essential for farmers to sell their crops. Nearly half of all U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat exports pass through here on their way to the Gulf of Mexico. I'm standing at the edge of the river on a pier in Red Wing, Minnesota, just south of the Twin Cities. This is the furthest point where barges can travel into the U.S. to pick up their crops for export. It's also the last stop for them to unload fertilizers, herbicides, and other essential inputs farmers need. Here, water is plentiful, and barges glide easily along. But in the lower half of the Mississippi, south of Illinois, there's been little rain. Some parts of the river could drop by 8 feet in weeks. Captain Mike Knapper, a Mississippi River tug and pull pilot, says barges have to carry lighter loads to avoid scraping the bottom of the ship's hull on the riverbed.
You know, the less product you take, they got to make more trips to get, you know, X amount of products from A to B.
He now operates out of a pier in Wisconsin, but previously worked in Memphis, Tennessee for 7 years. By late September, the Farm Bureau reported that barge rates had already risen significantly above their long-term averages. If the river shrinks as forecasted for October, rates could reach previous drought year highs.
Somebody else has got to pay the piper for that extra trip. Well, then on the flip side of that, the fertilizer companies are going to charge the farmer more. And trust me, I spent the first 18 years of my life on a dairy farm. I know all about that.
Paul Freeman's farm in Starbuck, Minnesota, is a couple of hours away from the river's edge. The combine we're in is inhaling rows of soybeans. He's feeling the pressure from the fertilizer spikes and expects next spring to be no different.
They're going to spread that cost down the line to where the person has to pay it, and that's me.
But he's got a plan. He'll buy his fertilizer earlier this year in the winter to better plan his costs for the spring. Has that happened before?
Farmers are getting smarter and they're doing that more.
Chad Hart, an ag economist at Iowa State University, agrees. He says that while some buy fertilizer early, others wait, hoping that the price will come down.
You're just trying to figure out best how to time the market to try to avoid those pinch points.
These rising costs come at a time when many producers are already in a tough place. China has decided not to buy any soybeans for the upcoming market year. It's also buying less corn.
So it's sort of a double whammy for farmers here. They're facing lower prices for their corn and soybeans if we can't move as fast down the river. But we're also facing higher fertilizer, higher input costs because of that same problem.
Back at his farm, Paul Freeman is about to unload today's harvest into a storage truck. It's usually a moment of great pride, but with high operating costs and low revenues, his margins are tightening.
At the end of the day, I got to make ends meet, just like the person at the doing the checkout at the grocery store. That person has to make ends meet also.
So he's adapting. He's expanding his local business connections, selling specialty crops to Japan, and putting less fertilizer on his fields. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Charles Ledford, Mawa Iqbal, Capital News Illinois, Alex Degman, and Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.